driven by Briggs Auto Lane.
Let's have some fun. Let's go.
And BriggsAuto.com. Get in the game.
Hour two of the game, K-State, Oklahoma State tonight. We've got Brad Underwood certainly on our brains and our mouths here on the show today. We're going to get to that in just a moment because right now the social media world seems to think that Brad Underwood is the most painful former K-State coach that's out there right now, not in Manhattan. K-State will face him tonight. We go around college basketball at 5:25, find out a little bit about the latest bracketology. You can't be serious at 5:50 as well. Plus, at some point in this hour, we're going to be giving away, or at least getting someone registered for those four FanFest tickets in Kansas City next weekend, a hotel stay, plus $100 in barbecue to Jack Stack. We'll give it away on Friday, but we'll register somebody here this hour, so be listening when we call for that. If you want to call in the meantime, if you got something on your mind, 537-1350, 866-776-1350. You can also tweet us at the Game KMAN. What we'll tackle here is what the poll question is today at the Game KMAN, which former K-State coach hurts to watch the most right now. I could only have four choices there. We actually have more options than choices available on Twitter's poll. So you can write in Dana Altman. I figured he would be the lowest on that list, even though Oregon is having some success right now. But Bob Huggins, Frank Martin, Brad Underwood, Lon Kruger, those are the choices. And I figured this might be the case, but we've hit the 500 vote mark again. And it's actually Brad Underwood that comes in with the most votes. 33% of the vote goes to Brad Underwood. So he is the leader to K-State fans right now as the most painful former Wildcat coach to watch right now on an opposing sideline. Pretty simple to me. I think it comes down to a matter of recency bias. It was the most recent thing to happen. I don't think it was more painful for most K-State fans than the Frank Martin situation or certainly the Bob Huggins situation with those guys leaving. But it was the one that happened most recently. So, therefore, I would anticipate it to go in that type of an order, and it does. Brad Underwood, 33%. Frank Martin, 27%. Bob Huggins, 26%. Lon Kruger, 14%. So, it literally goes in chronological order. You know?
And I think that's all recency. I mean, most of it is.
Yeah. No, I agree. There's a lot of things here. Twitter, like, you know, a lot of people that are using Twitter weren't around to remember the Lon Kruger situation, when it happened. Heck, I really wasn't either. I was born in 1989. So there's that part of it too. It's going to skew younger with Twitter. But I do think the one aspect of the Brad Underwood situation, well, I disagree with it. Like myself, I consider myself a K-State fan. I grew up diehard K-State fan. I'm a little more jaded now that I've been working in media here for a while covering the teams. But as a fan, I do disagree with the Brad Underwood notion. I think that becomes a lot of what we talked about in the first hour. I'm not a guy that's completely sold on Brad Underwood being a slam dunk as a head coach. Really like him. Appreciate everything he did at K-State. I think he was awesome. He helped in part save that 10-11 season, Jacob Pullin's senior year, with his switch of the offense. And I think he's got the potential to be a very good head coach. But we don't have a lot of the question marks answered. He's the most unproven of that entire group. Huggins, Martin, Underwood, Kruger. Underwood is by far the least proven. There's the least evidence out there about him being a coach. Now, he had a great run at Stephen F. Austin where he had one of the best three-year stretches of any coach starting their career ever. And that's awesome. He also didn't ever have a team that was comprised entirely of his own recruits, so we don't have total answers on that. And it was at a much lower level than where he's at right now with Oklahoma State, and he's off to an 0-5 start in the Big 12. So there's just a lot that we still need to find out about Brad Underwood. For that reason, I would not list him as number one on which one is the most painful. The only reason I could think people feel like that is because you kicked him to the curb in some ways. You could have absolutely had Brad Underwood at one point in time, but you didn't want him, and then he went on, did his thing somewhere else, turned into a much bigger star, and all of a sudden, here he is. Like a girl in high school that really liked you. You were too good for her, didn't have any time for her. You show up later at that reunion and like, wow, who is that? Oh, that's Brad Underwood. Oh, wow. Man, okay. Yeah, I'm interested now. Well, it's too late because now Brad Underwood's moved on to something else. That's the situation that's played out there. So if that makes it more painful for you, then I suppose I would listen to that argument. But that's about the only one that I would.
So do you go with Martin or Huggins, assuming that you don't go with Kruger on this?
I actually go with Bob Huggins.
Okay.
To me, it's Bob Huggins. And there is an aspect of that that is tied to timing because, you know, at the peak of my fandom as a high schooler, I was just completely enamored with K-State athletics at that point. And to get Bob Huggins in there was like a dream come true. One of the most exciting days of my life when I found out that they were hiring Bob Huggins. Like, finally, a real basketball coach here. We're going to get a real program. We're going to win some games. He started reading all the articles about the recruiting he had been doing while he had sat out without an actual job. Like, those were exciting times. Those were exciting, exciting times. And even though he didn't get to the tournament, I felt like he did enough to get to the tournament, and there was clearly a ton of progress made. I could not have been more excited. And so then one of the biggest meltdowns I ever had was when he wound up leaving. And obviously things worked out well with Frank Martin. Well, they could have worked out well with Frank Martin later on down the road, too, if he had decided to leave 5-6 years later. Or if Frank had somehow left by that point, it could have been Brad Underwood, too, because that's my biggest point here is that Huggins put all this in motion, man. He brought in Brad Underwood. He had Frank Martin come with him. You could have still had three of those guys on your staff, theoretically, if Bob Huggins remained here in Manhattan. So he's the most established, you know, whereas on one end, you've got Brad Underwood being really the least established right now. Bob Huggins is the most established in terms of wins, what he's been able to do in his career, Final Fours. To me, Bob, I see a little bit of a, like, maybe there could be a challenge there. To me, Bob Huggins is the most established, and he had those guys under him, so you could have had all three of them. That's what makes it really painful. You know, what happens if Bob Huggins is able to work with Michael Beasley, Bill Walker, Jacob Pullen? Not that Frank Martin did a bad job, but he was also just learning on the fly. It was his first year as a head coach. What happens when you have a vet like Bob Huggins there, and then you parlay that momentum that you have from that season, whatever Huggins is able to do on down the road? I just think that could have been a big-time snowball that really got going.
Well, I'm glad that you say Bob Huggins, because I'm going with Frank Martin, and I have some decent counterpoints, I think, on this. And as far as which one hurt the most to see them leave between Huggins, Martin, and Underwood, it was definitely Huggins. There's no doubt about that. But looking at it several years later, as we sit here today, I would say Martin, because when I look back at Huggins, you could see the writing on the wall that that wasn't going to be his last stop, that he needed something to, you know, re-energize himself and get himself back on the right track after how things ended at Cincinnati. But the writing on the wall was there that he had too much connection to places more on the East Coast. Of course, the West Virginia job being what he considered his dream job, being a West Virginia guy. With Frank Martin, and I know that he has his connections to Miami and everything like that, but with Frank Martin, you saw how he acted at the press conference when he was named the head coach. You saw how he acted when he got that contract extension. He was in tears. He was very emotional. I had the idea in my head leading up to his last season at K-State that he could be a K-State lifer and be one of those guys that, almost like we talked about with Danny Duffy yesterday, K-State took a chance on him by giving him that first opportunity. Maybe Frank Martin decides, this is where I want to be and this is where I want to raise my family forever. And when he left, he went to a place that was much more difficult for K-State fans to swallow than Bob Huggins did or than Brad Underwood did, because South Carolina has 8 NCAA tournament appearances in its program history, 3 Sweet 16s, 0 Elite Eights, Final Fours, or national championships, only 8 conference championships. There just is not a lot that's ever been done in South Carolina, and Frank Martin took that job because he wanted out of K-State. That, to me, when I look at it after the fact, hurts a lot more than losing Bob Huggins.
Well, look, I mean, trust me, I'm there in terms of that one still does hurt me, and that would be a close second, I think, to Bob Huggins. But it just all comes down to, I mean, there is no A without B. There is no Frank Martin without Bob Huggins. And, well, yes, I do think there was a better chance that Frank Martin was going to be a lifer here. I don't necessarily think that Huggins would have been a lifer, because at some point that West Virginia job was going to come open. But I did tend to believe him, and perhaps this is me being naive, but I did tend to believe him when he said this is really the one thing that would draw me away is the West Virginia gig. I think it would have been a while and a lot of success here at K-State before a bigger job comes calling, and then maybe he goes that route too. I do believe that could have happened, but I think you would have gotten a solid 5, 6, 7 years, and to me that all goes back to what does that momentum then afford you to do? Because we've clearly seen, I mean, the momentum of Huggins even there for 1 year and bringing in the recruits that he did got Frank Martin jump-started. And he turned that into an Elite Eight run with Jacob Pullen, Rodney Magruder, all those guys, Curtis Kelly, Denny Clemente, guys that he sprinkled in there with what he got as a head start and just kept that snowball really rolling. I always think back to make a football comparison here too. You know, I mean, I'm going to break everyone's hearts with this discussion, but since we're doing that already, I mean, you win the national championship in 1998. What kind of juice does that add to your program overall? I mean, do things ever go downhill the first time for Bill Snyder after that? Those types of things can elevate you. So if Huggins had been able to put together a real big run, I think that then could have turned into something much bigger, even if he did leave later on. And then guess what? Again, Martin, Underwood, still on the staff, at least conceivably under Bob Huggins at that point in time.
Yeah, you mentioned if he would have stayed 5, 6, 7 years, you don't think, you know, and we're talking in hypotheticals, but you don't think at that point Martin would have had somebody come calling and want to give him an opportunity elsewhere, or Brad Underwood for that point?
Maybe, but you got to think, one, Underwood came in under Huggins as director of basketball operations. He wasn't even an actual,
right.
I mean, he's a staff member, but he wasn't an actual, like, assistant coach technically at that point in time. So he was far down the totem pole. And just remember the Frank Martin reaction when he was hired. I mean, this guy was a high school coach, like, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe if he had built up his reputation more, but my point would be he was not like a hot assistant coach name already. And a lot of times with those guys, you got to stick around for a while, being the bench coach, the number two. Bruce Weber did it for like 2 decades at Purdue before he jumped to a head coaching job. So it can take a while to get to that type of point. 537-1350-866-776-1350. Let's squeeze in Mark here. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, I was just calling in to talk a little bit about or comment a little bit about you're referencing who's the better coach or who would you rather see or not see. And have you guys looked at performance? I mean, if you go back to Dana Altman and go through Lon Kruger and work your way forward and kind of forget the woolly errors, but you look at those coaches, Weber's one of your top winning coaches at K-State. I mean, he's just behind Frank Martin on win percentage. And, you know, I think you guys undersell him just because he's kind of a nice guy. And you talk about underperforming. Well, I think he's been performing very well.
So a 5-13 Big 12 season's all right by you?
Is he the only one that had a 5-13 Big 12 record?
Well, Frank Martin did not. Bob Huggins did not.
I guess I look at the overall scheme of things, and is he successful? Is he winning more than he's losing? Does he keep you off SportsCenter because he's not throwing a tirade and getting mad and cursing? Or, you know, I mean, there's more things than just a winning record. And in my mind, he's very similar to another coach that has established a legacy here because of the way he did things and, you know, his general demeanor. He's well-respected. And did he have some losing records?
Yeah. All right, look, Mark, I'm going to cut you off, man. This is not – our conversation here was not who's the best coach – and let's bring Bruce Weber into the discussion. Our discussion was, which one's the most painful to watch coach somewhere else now? So we get into a hypothetical discussion of what they could have done here. This was not meant to be a comparison to Bruce Weber, so I appreciate your sentiment there. But that's kind of the whole point of us having this discussion. People, I think for the most part, are a little disenfranchised with the direction of the program right now, so therefore you start to wonder about the former coaches that you've had, and you have a ton of them that are having success at a lot of different places right now. So, like, I'm just not going to get into that discussion of Bruce Weber versus all these former coaches because that was not the point.
Frank Martin's worst Big 12 year was 08-09, going 9-7, and that was tied for fourth.
There you go. I was just about to say I don't believe any of them went worse than 10-6, but I was like, I feel like that NIT year for Frank was just slightly under that, which it was. But there you go. I mean, every season above 500 in the Big 12, you've had 2 straight sub-500 Big 12 seasons. One of those was a sub-500 overall season. I mean, look, that's what you came with first. There's no argument really there in terms of wins and losses. Now, if you want to go on the other stuff, that's a whole different issue. But wins and losses-wise, yeah, I mean, it doesn't compare. It just doesn't. And that's why we're in this situation that we're at right now where people got upset that Brad Underwood was hired at Oklahoma State. We had to a break here on The Game. You can feel free to chime in, 537-1350. You can tweet us at The Game KMAN. We're about to go around college basketball, find out what Joe Lenardi thinks of K-State at this point in time. It actually surprised me, which plays into just what the interesting situation the Wildcats are in is. But it is time. We got to get somebody registered for those 4 FanFest passes, which are for next weekend in Kansas City. You will get four passes to Royals Fan Fest. You will get $100 worth of Jack Stack barbecue, and you will also get a stay in a hotel in Kansas City within walking distance of Fan Fest. This is an awesome, awesome package from the Royals. So right now, you're giving me a four, caller four?
Yep.
Is there a significance to that? Alex Gordon?
None at all. Just caller four. I picked it.
Okay. All right. Well, caller four, 537-1350, 866-776-1350. You are getting registered to have a shot at the Royals Fan Fest package, which we'll give away on Friday. You're listening to The Game.